And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Requires Gemini device and additional paid subscriptions to watch Netflix and other third-party apps. Terms and restrictions apply.
Shirtless, it's the Shirtless Plantain Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show. This is the Euros edition. I'm your host, Tosin, and like the show in San Francisco with Uncle Jesse, it's a full house, and I have... have to get dad jokes off. I have Dean with me and I have Coach. Fellas, how y'all doing today?
Yeah, well, while Dean is swigging his water, we're back. Things went to plan how I expect them to. Yeah, you guys know where to find me. Love Rucci on Twitter. Let's go, man.
Yeah. And Dean's over here taking an intermission break like they did in the Denmark game, and we'll talk about that later.
making me want to swig my water as well now, man.
I'm hydrated. That was some good football. Good football watching. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
All right, before we get into it, like, are you guys enjoying this tournament?
I am.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I'm seeing a lot of, this tournament isn't as good as this other tournament, or this tournament isn't fun, or it's not fun for... I don't know what people are watching, but if you're watching any other games that are not France or England, I feel like you should be having fun.
Yeah. I mean,
that's me.
No, go on.
Go ahead, Coach.
Okay, cool. Comparison is the FIFA joy, man. So... just enjoy it for where it is. Like AFCON, people compare it to AFCON or, you know, the 2022 World Cup and whatever. Like, those were great for their own reasons. Euro 2024 is great for its own reasons as well. I have been entertained. Have I been entertained more than those other two tournaments? Maybe not, but they didn't entertain me in the ways that I've been entertained in this tournament. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, I what's on display, I'm enjoying it, but I'll be honest and say that I don't think we've had as many high moments of drama just yet, but they're coming. Like, I know they're coming. So,
I mean, I just admire people's capacity to remember shit that doesn't matter anymore. Yeah. Like, why are you dwelling on some shit that already passed?
Yeah.
Stay in the moment, enjoy what you're watching, or don't watch it. Well, bitching about it for the whole world to listen, we don't want that. Keep that to yourself, please.
And also, I'm having fun in football during the summer. I'm having a great time watching Copa America. People getting kicked in the chest. I'm having a great time watching people kicking the shins. I'm having a great time watching Euros and Copa America at the same time. So guess what? Stop crying. Anyways, speaking of crying, let's talk about today's game. Italy versus Switzerland. I want to direct this to Coach because this is Coach's favorite player in the tournament so far. Granit Xhaka, I know you're in the Birdman rub. I need you to talk to me about...
No, I had to restrain myself, so...
And I got... Listen, before you talk, I got something funny to tell you. My brother called me, right? Yeah. My brother's a United fan. He was just like, bro, listen, I tried so hard not to admit this when he's playing for Arsenal, but that's one hell of a player,
listen.
You know. Listen. There you go.
Granit Xhaka, man, look. He's claimed another body today, man. And I don't want to single out Barella because of the whole midfield. But, you know, if any of you have watched Afro Samurai, you know, the number one samurai always has to take out like the next best guy, basically. Or they come for him. And, you know, all these other guys are fodder. Barella is the number one guy in that midfield. And Xhaka went for him and dealt with him the same way he dealt with Cruz, the same way he dealt with whoever else. Like, I feel like he's definitely a player that just, he has to get better when there's other good players there. He just naturally has to. That's his nature. And there's all the great players of the past tend to do that as well. Great midfielders, especially your Roy Keane's of the world. Like, they seem to find an extra gear. Like, when there's other good players, it's almost like, oh, now I found a worthy opponent. Let me show you what I can really do, kind of thing. And that's what Granit Xhaka is, clearly. Like, he loves it. He's never shrunk. Even if he has a bad game, and I put that in quotes, like, he never ever hides. Like, you know, yeah. I can't praise him highly enough. I'm getting bored of it at this point, man. Seriously.
Dean, what's your takeaway from Xhaka's performance against Italy?
I mean, you know, it's pretty standard stuff at this point. You know, I'm an Arsenal fan, so I've had the privilege of watching him for many years. and I knew of him before he showed up at Arsenal. And I just want to make the point that, you know, because I saw a tweet going around earlier today, which was very complimentary to Granit Xhaka. I'm not going to quote the whole thing, but essentially was like, oh, since about 2022, when he turned 30, he's been arguably the best midfielder, blah, blah, blah. It's like, listen, man, you can't judge a player's quality on the accomplishments. Like, sure, it helps when you're really good and you're on good teams and you win a lot of trophies. That's great. But not everyone has that luxury. Not everyone's that lucky in life. When Unai Emery was coaching Arsenal and Granit Xhaka was the linchpin of the midfield and Arsenal was getting dragged from pillar to post every weekend and Xhaka was chasing people backwards in the wrong direction and everything was bad, that wasn't because Granit Xhaka was a bad player. It was because he was in bad systems with bad players around him, with bad coaches, and nothing fit. And many players would suffer in the same circumstances. So I say all that to say, I'm glad he's getting a lot of love right now. I'm glad he's showing it on the big stage yet again. And those of us that have been there for a long time, we always knew. We don't need the validation from, you know, people like your brother, for instance, Tosin. Like, we've always known that he's good. The system around him was just bad. The minute a competent coach came in and he got some players around him, look at him. Look, he just led arguably the best team in Europe this season, you know. So, shout out Granit Xhaka, man. Very pleased for him. Not surprised by anything we saw today.
Tosin, quickly, do you think there's, like, a universe where Xhaka could be like in the top 20 for the Ballon d'Or coming up this year, or top 30?
I mean, sure, but at the end of
the... Go on, Jose, I'm sorry.
At the end of the day, like, I don't really look at the top 20, I look at the top one and keep it moving. It's not really my business to look at the rest of them niggas. I don't know who, I couldn't tell you who the rest, like, since I haven't watched, I don't know, but he's one of the best players in the world. I mean, he's shown it for Leverkusen, shown it for Arsenal, shown it before he joined Arsenal. So, I mean, my thing is about Xhaka that I love the most is, like, literally from the beginning of the game. It was like, as soon as the referee blew the whistle,
he said in the group chat, yes.
Literally from the beginning, I saw, I was like, oh shit, he's on it today. And he got a little cramp, and I was just like, the only thing that was stopping his injury, and then he got rid of his cramp, and he just decided, you know what, I'm gonna flex on you. So, but Xhaka aside, Switzerland played very well. They were on it. But also, Switzerland were aided by Spalletti's stupidness. And Dean, I want you to take this part to talk to me about how stupid Spalletti was today.
Well, you know what? It's interesting because we talked about this in the chat during the game. And initially, I still think he made errors in his team selection. There were 11 good players in that squad. Injuries be damned, suspensions be damned, that he could have put out today that would have put up a better fight than the team he put out today.
Yeah.
Like, El Shaarawy should not be starting in a knockout game.
I'm so confused. Bro, I was like,
bro, I legit saw the lineup that was leaked. I saw the official lineup. I saw him on the pitch. I'm going to go look back at the lineup to make sure I wasn't tripping. Because I'm like, I've seen him at Roma, right? Like, obviously, you see him at Roma. I'm like, what? He hasn't played the whole entire tournament. That's my thing. It's like, bro, he has not played a single minute and you started to start him here.
I think he came out as a sub at some point, but he's been washed for many, many years. I didn't even know he was still in Italy until I randomly saw him come off the bench for Roma at some point. And speaking of Roma, Mancini at the back. I know Calafiori couldn't make the game for whatever reason, but I'll change formation before I play that. I'll be honest. He's too rash, man. He's too rash. He's like the white Upamecano who is actually De Ligt, but who's, you know what? Let's not get into it. Point being, there were a lot of reasons for Spalletti to make the selections he made today. And I have some sympathy with him, but he made mistakes. Like, when you're going up against Granit Xhaka or a midfield that contains Granit Xhaka, you're not necessarily going to beat him with better physicality. You're going to beat him with better brains because that's how Xhaka dominates the game. He just knows where to be. And it's all about positioning. It's all about angles. It's all about passing. You had Jorginho on your bench. You didn't use him. As far as I know, Jorginho is alive. I'm not saying he would have made the difference today, but I guarantee you Italy would have had more of the ball than they did. It was too easy.
My thing is, the biggest mistake, he left Locatelli at home. That was the stupidest thing, but that's neither here nor there.
It's too late now.
Yeah,
it's
no, for sure.
Like talking about the England left-back thing. It's just too late. We can't do it. That's why I'm not saying the Saka thing was a good idea. Sorry for the detour. But that's why I was like, I can see why you would do that in the situation because there's nobody else. Locatelli should be in this tournament. He would be their best player, probably.
Coach. And I don't, do you know what? Just on the Jorginho, the potential matchup with Jorginho versus Xhaka, one of the good things that Jorginho is really, really good at, should I say, is he's he's intercepting, and Xhaka loves a brushed pass. He loves to switch. He can make any sort of pass, but all those brushed passes that he makes across the ground, Jorginho, I'm not saying he hoovers all of them up, but they were causing Italy so many problems. And you don't need to be the most physical or whatever domineering player. You just need to be able to shut out the passing lanes. But with the ball, sorry, there's a fly that's getting on my nerves, man. Get out of here. But with the ball, he can easily make Xhaka turn and run towards his goal. And Xhaka's not the best at that. Even though he's really physical and he gets up and down, he's not the best at that kind of thing. And that's where I feel like, yeah, Spalletti was dumb for not playing him. Like, genuinely, like, it was a very dumb decision.
You know, I don't think it's like a personal thing, but I was watching, I think maybe the first group game that they actually won. Yeah. And Spalletti was just yelling at Jorginho the whole game. He felt like Jorginho wasn't showing for the ball. And I'm just like, I don't know. Spalletti has forgotten more about this sport than I'll ever know, probably. But it just struck me as a manager not quite understanding the player. Because when you think about it, this is not the manager that was in charge when Italy won this tournament 3 years ago, even though it was, you know, Euro 2020 was in 2021. And that was the year Jorginho came third in Ballon d'Or. And the coach back then was Roberto Mancini, not Luciano Spalletti. Yeah. So I think it's one of those things where a coach doesn't quite get a particular player. Because for me, seemingly every manager that's ever coached Jorginho, since we've known about him, as you know, people who observe the sport, they all trust him to start in their teams. So to start the tournament with Jorginho and not start him or even bring him off the bench in a knockout game, that suggests to me that you don't really rate the player. And that was a mistake. Probably his biggest mistake today.
So before we move on to Switzerland and talk about what they did, shout out to Gigi Donnarumma. He did a great in goal. Just nothing you could do when you're getting packed out like that. Because from minute go, Italy was suffering. Okay. From as soon as the referee blew that whistle, even in the second half, which you get to. But let's talk about the goals. Remo Freuler's goal was disgusting. I don't know what was better, the pass or the first touch. Either way, it's nasty. It was nasty.
You know, I enjoy team goals like that where the finish itself has a bit of individual brilliance in it as well. But I think it was a problem for Italy because of Switzerland's, I suppose, fluidity with the way that, I mean, Ndoye was playing right wing back, but then he was popping up at centre forward at times. And then, you know, Xhaka seemed to be the genuine only central midfielder on the pitch. The rest of those guys in the 3-4-3 were kind of doing whatever they wanted kind of thing. So the run for the goal, Italy, that was on all day, basically. And Italy couldn't handle it because the sheer physicality of it. And by the time he's arriving to the box, I think Switzerland had five players in the box at that point. Five or six players in the box. They were just flooding it. And just there was no rule. I think the pass went to him, but there was another pass to the back post as well. Like, there was options there. And Italy just really couldn't. They had no answer for it. And that goal was coming. Like, Embolo missed the chance about 10 minutes before that, where he was completely free one-on-one. Like, it was coming. And they ground him down. I kind of felt as if, oh, if Italy stay in this till halftime, you know, it could be a bit hairy. But Switzerland really had other ideas, man.
Yeah. Dean, go ahead. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, it was just, I think the goal was the perfect encapsulation of the issues with Italy's lineup today. Like, because there are so many new people in the lineup, people who hadn't played with each other in this tournament, or maybe in the last couple months, there were no connections between people. There was no compactness. So they were just passing through them so easily, you know, like horizontal passes, vertical passes. It was just, is this Italy or Iceland? You know, like, what's going on here, man? Like, they're wearing blue, but they're not defending like an Italian team. What is going on here? And that goal was just the total encapsulation of all the problems they had today.
Just a mess. Just an absolute mess. The second goal was beautiful, man. Vargas just tore the net. And you know what's funny about Freuler? You know where he plays, right? Remo Freuler?
Yeah, Atalanta.
No, Bologna.
Oh, ah, shit. He used to be at Atalanta, though,
no? No, he was at Nottingham Forest.
Yes, he was at Nottingham Forest. Yes.
Yeah, they sent him out on loan to Bologna. So kind of funny how, you know, someone who plays in Serie A, he's at Luzern before. He's never been at, he was at Atlanta for 6 years. Then he went to Nottingham Forest. Yeah. Then he went back to Italy.
That's where I knew him from. But that's Italian tournament heritage. Remember when the Korean dude knocked him out of the 2002 World Cup?
Yeah.
And he was playing at, like, I forget where he was playing in Italy, and the owner of the team, like, rescinded his contract on some hater shit.
Hilarious.
Mourinho's owner got to step up for his country right now. Let's see if you're patriotic.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, that second goal was just Xhaka being Xhaka, intercepted the ball. Then Vargas decided, you know what? I'm have a pop here, and this is the biggest goalkeeper in the tournament Mama brings over here just like trying to think of two different words. But yeah, it's just like, yo, it is absurd. That goal was just, it was beautiful. And there's nothing he could do. Just top bins and good night. Because there's nothing Ili was going to do.
I was just disappointed because I don't like Vargas. I'm sorry, I just don't. I never. So it's like, I was annoyed it was him. I wish it was somebody else because I remember in the last tournament Switzerland played, he was by far their worst attacker. And so many of their attacks broke down because of these really stupid decisions. But him doing that, I suppose, is good for him. It's just shit for my agenda, to be honest.
Yeah, man. He's Dominican, bro.
Yeah, Dominican is. And you know, that's why, like, you know, Versus, yeah, on Instagram are doing this really good series right now, how immigration is affecting the Euros and whatnot. And we're seeing all these, and they did a post on Switzerland. And seeing how many of the Switzerland players are just actually not from there is actually pretty cool. So, I mean, for example, the last one, we had Liechtensteiner there, who is clearly Albanian with a name like Liechtensteiner. And then obviously you have Granit Xhaka, who's obviously Albanian as well. Then you have Shaqiri. Then you have Rodriguez, who is, I believe, he's South American. I can't remember what country in South America. Is it Chile? I don't want to say it's Chile. I don't want to offend anyone, but... and obviously you have Vargas, and you got Mbolo from Cameroon and whatnot.
I'm offended by this entire conversation. I don't give a fuck about immigration. Can we move on? Nobody cares about Swiss immigration. Like they have some of the strictest immigration laws on the planet, you know. So, but it just goes to show, if you want to achieve things in sports, get you some niggas. Yeah. The end.
And you know what? To kind of encapsulate that point before we move on, because this is going to be the same thing for Germany. Guess what Switzerland has at the back that Germany has as well? A big black West African named Obafemi.
Yes.
And we're going to move on. Germany against Denmark. Man, controversial. If you watch this game, you could tell it was ref right English, man.
Yeah, I cannot believe...
What was so controversial about
it? It wasn't controversial, but like the referee just... I felt like I kept seeing him on the TV. Like I just felt...
It's because you guys know him. Mm. That's the problem. You guys watch him every week. You guys know Michael Oliver. You know his...
Oh, you don't watch him as well?
I watch him, but I just didn't think he did a bad job.
Yeah.
You know, because I think it's just one of them things. Like if I see Michael Oliver or Anthony Taylor or one of these dickheads that ruins my weekends every weekend in the Prem... I'm going to start talking shit immediately, but I was watching him closely like, I dare you to fuck up. I dare you, man. He didn't really fuck up. I got to be honest with you. Like, they took their time with a call or two, but I thought it was legit. Like, the first, the Schlotterbeck header, that was a clear screen. Like, I know, you know, Ben White plays with the goalkeepers and, all the funny memes about, you know, set piece shenanigans. But at the end of the day, I feel like the game is good where it's at. We don't want to add that part of basketball to football. Like, I just don't think it's really on. If you can get away with it, cool, but I personally don't like it, so I don't want it. So I thought it was a great call. The Joachim Andersen thing, we're going to get to that, but the rules are the rules, man. You know, the handball, I hate it, but the rules are the rules, you know. So Michael Oliver, hairline is shit, but the refing was good, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and they did a great job with the Thunder thing, because I'm not sure if you guys know this. The coach in 2009 had a player that got electrocuted by Lightning, and he lost part of his leg.
Yeah, the Danish coach.
Yeah. The Danish coach had a player, lost his leg, part of his leg, got amputated. So that's, you know, an important part where I saw the jokes and everybody's trying to use the word woke. I'm just like, yo, shut the fuck up. What, it's not funny.
Yeah, I can't let you. That's my next bit gone. You know, I thought it was a bit of woke nonsense, but clearly it's not. So, yeah, that's my bit gone. Like... But I tell you what, I think that's the first time I've seen I've watched a lot of football, but an international tournament game being suspended for weather. I don't remember, especially your Euros, I don't remember that happening to my recollection, at least, anyway. But I thought the game was actually done because the rain didn't look like it was letting up at all. Like, it just looked like it was
hail.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Did you guys hear Peter Schmeichel's joke?
What did he say?
He said Old Trafford's the biggest water park in Manchester.
Oh, my God. Why does United Stadium always come up when shit like this happens, though?
Because it's leaking. It's like a Nas album in 2000.
Like, man, these I mean, that's what happens when you're the, you know, arguably the biggest team in the world. I mean, it's Real Madrid, but United is right up there with them, so people are always going to remember them, use them as examples, and so on and so forth. It stinks, but until you guys fix your shit, which Mr. Jim doesn't really, you know what, let's focus on this game.
It was a good game. I mean, what's your biggest takeaway from this game before we get into the goals and that drama and all that?
That Germany are probably my favorite to win the tournament now. Hello. I just think they have a lot of ways to win.
Yeah.
They today was not their most fluid performance. I thought Schlotterbeck was a good addition, a necessary addition, since Jonathan Tah was out of the, you know, for a suspension, yellow card suspension. So he had to play. And he's a really good player. I personally don't rate him because I think he does stupid shit every so. He did something today where he won the ball in the box, and instead of just getting rid of it, he tried to prove that I'm a continental passing center back. Ooh. Then he lost the ball to a Danish player. But
which is Rasmus, and he hit the side net, and I remember.
Right. I thought he played really well besides that moment, but the issue with him being on the field was that I think his because of his passing range and his ability to carry the ball from the back, him and Cruz kind of stepped on each other. When Ty is there, it's just a physical defender doing a defender's job will yield to Cruz every time. Cruz, I think in the second half, the way he sort of gained a little more influence on the game was to move ahead of Schlotterbeck a little bit. But for the first half, we didn't really see Toni Kroos at all, which was odd. Then it's nice to see that Musiala can have an impact on a game when he plays like shit. Because he was fucking terrible today. He got the clinching goal, if you will, but he was horrible.
Yeah.
And obviously our boy Havertz, I think he was the best player in this game. Obviously you want a striker to be more efficient, but I think this was his version of a Darwin Nunez game, where it's like, I'm just going to be there creating stuff, you know, like setting things up for my teammates, creating chances, missing chances. But he stepped up for the penalty when there were a lot of other really respectable German internationals with medals on that field with him. And they said, you know what, Kai, you take this penalty. And unlike Lucas Paqueta or other gamblers, he actually converted on his first try.
And a really good penalty at that. I will say this. I see a lot of talk about Havertz saying like, this non-experience. Like, I know you don't know what you're watching, because the amount of space he created for his team, the amount of runs, like even that one turn he did. Remember when we just like, I don't know how the fuck he managed to do that. Like, we spun the defender and like ran in on goal. Yeah, he should have finished that. But even doing shit like that, I'm just like, yo, I'm so impressed. Like, Kai did very well today. So good job to Kai. Yeah. I had a point I want to make. Denmark, quickly before we move on, they just didn't have any teeth, man. Like, they got the Eriksen goal, obviously, early in the tournament, but their strikers weren't there. Rasmus, the other guy that they started with, Rasmus, in the beginning of the tournament, Poulsen. When Poulsen, Rasmus, they were toothless. They were absolutely toothless. And Rasmus really, really needs Ruben Nistelrooy lessons next season. Like, he's still raw, and he's still got a lot of potential in him, but that kid needs to learn how to, like, He needs some variance to his game.
Coach, what do you think Ruud van Nistelrooy can teach Rasmus Højlund exactly?
This is the Euros pod. It's not United's pod, bro.
I'm just thinking of the way Ruud played, and I don't really know how. Because the issue is that his teammates can't get him the ball.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with Rasmus. I thought Rasmus was good when he. Well, that's not true. He kind of didn't hold the ball up well when he got it, but. He did get shots off in this tournament every so often. So
I tell you, there's one thing that all good strikers do, basically, is they make sure they make the goalkeeper work when they're in the box. Like, Van Nistelrooy was a master of getting his shots on target in the box, because if they're on target, there's a chance it can go in. Rasmus seems to hit the side net in or just not hit the target, you know, more often than not. You're in the box. I feel like the least you can do is just make the goalkeeper work and see what happens, basically. So I think that's probably one thing Ruud is going to be drilling into him, because it got to a point in time whenever Ruud was in the box, it was inevitable kind of thing. And I feel like not everybody can be like that, but that's probably one pointer, you know, he'll probably look at and say, just make sure you hit the target especially when you're within 12 yards as well, man.
he going to teach that nigga how to cheat.
Viva la raza!
But you know what, Just on Germany, I suppose, more Havertz and how he's been used. The debate last week was Füllkrug should be starting over him. And I feel like Havertz just let his nuts hang. He's just like, yeah, fucking right. Like, you guys need to behave yourself. Like, there's no chance. Like, even the chance that he missed when he ran through on goal, very Benzema-esque. Like, it was smooth, it was fluid. Benzema done the exact same thing in the Euro 2020, whatever it was. I don't know.
2021.
Yeah, I don't even know. 2020? Honestly, I don't even know, man. But
Euro 20 COVID.
Yeah, that one. The COVID one, yeah.
Yeah.
But then he keeps, like, he's an option. The players are deferring to him. You know what I mean? And that's always a good sign. And I'm not saying that they wouldn't defer to Füllkrug, but when the game's in, when the game state is different, when you're, you know, finely poised, you know, you're drawing and whatnot, and players are relying on you. I'm not saying any players. I'm talking about Gundogan. I'm talking about Cruz. I'm talking about Sane. I'm talking about Musiala. These players are relying on you. Like, it's a very, very good sign. And it just goes to show, like, what Nagelsmann was saying about how he's rated in the German camp isn't just lip service showing him confidence. It's a genuine fact. These players are looking at Havertz thinking, yeah, you need to bail us out here, kind of thing. And they gave him a penalty because, obviously, they know what he's capable of, kind of thing. So I feel like he's kind of put it to bed, man, for real. So,
one thing that I did notice, they listened to us. Oh, me, yeah. Specifically the last podcast. Remember, I asked about David Raum, and he started. So I noticed that.
There was one more point, actually, and I don't want to talk about England because we're going to talk about them tomorrow when they hopefully lose. But look, Leroy Sané, right, came into the team and he didn't have a good cameo in his last game. And then Wirtz basically started the first game, scored the opener, but he hasn't been good in this tournament, right? But guess what? He's the German player of the year. Germany have options. They have quite a lot of ways to win, but I don't feel as if they have it more than England, for example, right? And Wirtz was dropped and they found balance. They somehow found balance. They still attacked really, really well. And I'm not going to indirect Southgate, but there's a clear lesson to be learned there for people that are switched on. It's not a hard thing to understand. Sometimes a player might not look like he's in form or whatever, but if he's going to help bring balance to the team, that's how you get the best out of the others that can make a difference. Because Sané wasn't great today, but the things that he done helped the players that were going to make shit happen actually make shit happen. So,
yeah, like, in other words, a team has to have a hierarchy. Mm. Just because you're a great player for your club doesn't mean that you go to the national team and you'd be a great player there. Yeah. Sometimes a great player for his club has to serve other players at the exactly. national team level. And that's what Sané did today. All he was there to do was provide with. Mm-hmm. Because when he was actually on the ball...
Yeah, somebody smelled like shit.
But, you know...
And that's exactly why they got Michael Olise. But I will say this much before we talk about the goal. Antonio Rudiger is a sicko. You're up 2-0, right? And this man tackles somebody at the end of the game. I'm talking about like 92nd, 93rd minute. He's literally on the floor like this, like just excited that he tackled somebody. Fist pumping on the ground like, you know what? I don't even want to, if I'm a striker, I don't want to go near you. I'm good. Leave me alone. Because clearly something is clearly malfunctioning with you and I don't want no smoke with
you. I'm just going to speculate here, Dean, quickly. I really, really feel as if I know you didn't play centre-back that often, but I really thought if that is you as a centre-back, that's just how I feel. I have no basis for this, by the way.
Put it this way. All I can say is that when I played in that position, I would often hear things like, hey, Bruss, don't kick me too much today. Yeah.
Guys, I was right, you see?
Hey, man, being a centre-back is an excuse to be valid. That's all it is, really.
I'll tell you this much. Do you know how sick you have to be to purposely want to be a centre-back? My brother moved from left-back to centre-back on purpose, and he wore vapors. So that just shows you that, like,
doesn't,
you know.
Doesn't Rudiger wear speed boots as well? I'm sure he does.
It was Under Armour. Yeah.
Who knows what those are? Nobody knows what those
exactly.
are.
Exactly. Okay. That's what he wears. We don't know what they are. The offside goal for Denmark, Anderson, man, that's unfortunate. Went from scoring to handball, and the game basically turned in that moment. So it's tough, man. That's football, right?
Indeed. It was looking like one of those games, right? Because to that point, and even after that point, I thought Germany, they weren't great, but I thought they played well enough to definitely win the game. And it was looking like, oh, they're going to create all these chances and half chances. Then Denmark scores from like one of their two chances in the game. And the game ends 1-0. But, you know, the universe is with them.
Yeah.
Fellas, you got anything you want to add more about these games that we watched today?
Yeah, just quickly, very, very quickly. Just on the handball, right? The offside has been talked about. But just on the handball, personally, I don't think it should have been given. But it's the letter of the law. But I really think it's so harsh because you're running, you're trying to defend and shit. You're not, like, you can't. And I know, like, I tell you who's really good at it. Gabriel's really good at playing with his hands behind his back, right? But you can see it's unnatural and you can't gain momentum with that shit. It's so difficult. So it's like
running like that.
Yeah, it's really, really, it's really unfair. And I think they need to have a rethink about that rule because and just apply common sense.
Two things on that for me. One, you see that width of my hand right there? Yeah. Then you see this?
Yeah.
All of that is natural.
Yeah.
The only unnatural place for a hand is if you chop that shit off and throw it at the ball. Yeah. So I'm not really understanding this terminology. That's the first thing. Then finally, I feel as if unless we can all agree by looking at the replay that, oh, he intentionally used his hand to play the ball, any handball in the box should not be a penalty. Mm. It should be an indirect free kick. That's what we should do. You shouldn't get an 85% chance of scoring because you were running naturally and someone crossed the ball and it brushed your fingertip and a chip in the ball. Like, they needed the chip to snitch on them. Like, nobody actually caught that in real time. It took the chip in the new ball for them to know what happened. And Denmark is going home. Which, let's be honest, guys. We're all very thankful for. Because nobody wants to watch that shit. They need to go. You know, like, thanks for coming. But you can go now.
Yeah.
This is not Michael Laudrup's Denmark. Yeah. This is not a Laudrup Denmark at all.
No. Tomorrow we have England, Slovakia, Spain, Georgia. It's going to be tasty. And we're going to cover that. Fellas, y'all got anything you want to add before we head out of here?
The usual. Like, subscribe.
I wanted to, before we leave, I wanted to ask Coach, like, how exactly is Slovakia going to beat England?
Oh, mate. Okay, so there's going to be fuckery. that's the first thing. There's gonna be a mistake, a huge mistake, like from somebody for sure. Like
Kyle Walker.
England are probably gonna take the lead. They'll get pulled back to make it 1-1. Usually how it goes. It gets really, really tight. Whether it's extra time or regulation time, someone's gonna make a mistake near towards the end of the game. And literally, Pickford will be stranded as usual, and that's how England go out. That's the way I see it happening. So, yeah.
Let's just pray that whoever makes a mistake isn't black. And if he's black, that it's Kyle Walker. That's all I have to say.
That is absurd.
Fuck that guy. Fuck his club. Fuck his club coach. Fuck his club owner. Okay, I'm done.
Coach, you got anything you want to else you want to add before we get out of here?
As usual, man. Like, subscribe, share, all the good stuff. Thank you guys for support.
Yeah, we're out, everyone. Take it easy. Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.